こんばんは。ようこそ。That is to say, good evening. Welcome. It's a pleasure to be here tonight. Thank you for coming. I see some well-known faces among you, as well as many whom I don't know so well. And I look forward to getting to know you better. I'm also happy to see some young people here. When I was growing up, I sat where you were sitting. When I was asked to speak for this evening, it was suggested that many of you don't know me very well. I should tell you a little bit about my background, how I was led to Japan, and what the Lord is doing and is now doing in Japan. How do you compress 70 plus years into 40 minutes? I'll do my best. Perhaps at a later date, I can speak more about the country of Japan itself and share about the work that the Lord is doing throughout Japan. I'd like to begin with my grandfather and grandmother, Cry. They were friends of the Pell family. My grandfather, I didn't ever know him. He died when I was very young. But my grandfather and the Pells worked together in the early days of the old Evangel Hall. So my father grew up in the meeting there on Leonard Street, and I attended Sunday school there before this present building was built. My mother played the piano here, and also she worked at Gospel Folio Press for several years. Now, the fourth generation of the Cry family here at Northwest is represented by our son, Randy. I remember when John Stelema, now some of you would remember John Stelema. I remember when John was the Sunday school superintendent, and I think he was the superintendent for once or twice or maybe three times over the years. And when he was the superintendent, I received a prize, a Bible concordance from him, from the assembly, for scripture memorization. And I believe that was in the old Evangel Hall. I have it written in the front of the concordance. This emphasis on Bible memorization continued to my junior high Sunday school class with Dick Rao. Anybody here remember Dick Rao? Okay. In the senior high class, Gene Gallows emphasized Bible study. At that time, the back there was all open. It was for expansion when had an overflow crowd. And at Sunday school time, the senior high and upper, early college years class met back there when we pulled the accordion curtain across. In the senior high class, Gene Gallows emphasized Bible study. He went through various book studies, including Revelation. And that was with high school and college kids. I can still remember some of the things that he taught. Next, I'd like to give you a shortened version of how the Lord led me to Japan. And it's my desire that the Lord be praised for what he has done and is still doing. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:7, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." This story is the story of what the Lord has done in my life. I was blessed with a spiritual heritage both in my family and in my church. My grandparents and parents were believers in the Lord. Both of my grandfathers loved the Word of God. They loved to study it, and they loved to talk about it. My parents took us kids to the meetings to the meetings of the assembly from an early age, the breaking of bread, the Sunday school, and the gospel meetings. Like Timothy, I can say from childhood, I have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make us wise unto salvation. My memories of those early years included hearing about the soon return of the Lord Jesus to the earth to take to heaven all who have believed in him, the rapture. Such messages were quite frequent in those days. Messages on prophecy from the Old Testament as well as the New. And eventually they were used to lead me to trust in the Lord at age 9. And I was baptized here at Northwest. I believe it was the first baptism at Northwest. Correct me, those of you that were back in there. It was a small group, but both my sister and I were baptized along with, I think, 2 or 3 others. I was 11 at that time. And as mentioned before, during my junior high and high school years, I was challenged by my Sunday school teachers to memorize and to study the Bible. Later, while in college, I would meet with Don Johnson. Anybody here remember Don Johnson? He came from Vermont, and he was studying at Grand Rapids JC, and I was studying at Grisboom Bible School, just up the hill from JC. And Don and I would meet often at lunchtime, and we would go to the YMCA, the chapel, and we would quote and repeat scriptures back and forth. I praise the Lord for those Sunday school teachers in those years and for those friends who encouraged and challenged me in my Christian walk. Then there were the friends who came alongside, and we went door to door distributing tracts and talking to people in the neighborhood around here as well as in other places in Grand Rapids. Dave Marvin was one of those. And also Ron Link. I'm sure several of you remember Ron. Will Pell took me on his various speaking engagements and had me share the meetings with him, as well as right here at Northwest. He would ask a number of the young men individually at different times to share the first part of the meeting. And Will had a gift of somehow blending what the young man would give in his testimony or share with the folks here and blending it into his own personal message. I praise the Lord for Brother Will. All of these experiences helped to prepare me for the future. My first childhood memories of missionaries were two ladies from Africa who stayed in our home. That was over here on Valley Street. That's where we first lived. These two ladies from Africa stayed in our home. I believe they were two of the Logan girls. Some of them have passed away. I think maybe all of them have passed away. They spent their whole lives in Africa. And there was one man from Mexico. Anybody guess who? Paul Clark. I remember him standing up here and at the beginning of the Sunday school period, and he would teach us how to sing Jesus Loves Me in Spanish. And I still remember the first few lines of that, but after that I don't remember. Later, there were monthly inter-assembly missionary meetings at which missionaries gave reports, showed pictures. In those days, there were slides, and they answered questions. And there was often a meal before or after where we fellowshipped with the believers from other Western Michigan assemblies. And I praise the Lord for those days because it was another exposure to what was going on in the world. The missionaries that had been sent out from many different assemblies across North America. and that exposure had an influence on me. When I was 11 years old, there was an event that stunned the Christian world. And many of you older ones will remember that. It happened in South America. 5 young missionary men who had wives and young children were brutally killed while attempting to make contact with an isolated indigenous tribe in the jungles of Ecuador. Christians, including my family, listened to the news of their death as it was broadcast over national radio. The Christian world was shocked, and soon the question was asked, who will go? Is the Lord calling you to carry his gospel to those who have never heard his name? I never forgot that. In the following years, I was able to read about the dedication and commitment of these young men, especially Jim Elliott. In fact, in junior high school, I remember writing a book report about Through Gates of Splendor. Today, I'm not sure whether you could do that in a public school. I wonder, what is your response to the martyrdom of Christians in various parts of the world that you hear about each day? In the following years, there were happenings and people who came into my life that brought me to completely surrender my life to the Lord, to do whatever He wanted me to do and to go where He wanted me to go. Looking back, I believe that God was orchestrating those events and using those people in my life to conform me to His will. While studying at Emmaus Bible School, my vision was expanding to worldwide missionary work. A British missionary to Jamaica, Harold Wildish. He was the special speaker for a week of meetings. During that week, the Lord very clearly spoke to me through him. Each meeting finished with the Francis Havergal song. And I know that many of you know that song. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And while we were singing that song at chapel time there at Emmaus, the speaker challenged us to surrender our lives to Christ. You know, I had read Romans 12, 1 and 2 many times. Plus, I had memorized I had read it and memorized it. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. During that week of special meetings, I made the decision to actually do it, to surrender publicly my life to the Lord. Since then, I've renewed my surrender many times, but I look back to that time as a pivotal point in my Christian walk with the Lord. In 1968, the Lord opened a door, an opportunity to join a team overseas to do literature evangelism for 2 years. At that time, it was called Literature Crusades from Prospect Heights, Northwest Chicago. Then in later years, the name was changed to International Teams. And that was Kevin Dyer's vision. Do you now see how the Lord had prepared me while in Grand Rapids? After spending 3 months initially in South Korea, I arrived in Japan in the summer of 68 and was there until 1970. We distributed literally thousands and thousands of gospel tracts during that time. We scoured the the Tokyo area, the train stations, the subway stations, the schools. We saw many rejections of the tracts as well as glad acceptance of them. I returned to Grand Rapids with a conviction that the Lord wanted me to serve Him in Japan. In consultation with the Northwest leadership, in those days there were no publicly recognized elders, but there were the brethren that met together that shared the leadership. And in consultation with these brethren, I remained here at Northwest for 2 years, during which I had the joy of starting a college and career age Bible class, and we met in the vestibule over there. That was the one room that was available during Sunday school. In 1971, I received the blessing and commendation from this assembly to return to Japan, and I thank the Lord for that. Also, the Lord blessed me with a wonderful wife to join me in serving Him together. And she has her own story of how the Lord led her to Japan. We were led separately to Japan, and then we came together. And so she'll have that privilege sometime, I trust. We were married in June of 1972, and we sailed for Japan. Yes, by boat. And in talking in Japan, we've said that we think that we were the last missionaries in Japan that arrived by boat. The Apostle John wrote, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." While engaged in literature evangelism in the late 1960s in Tokyo, I met a young Japanese couple who had just returned to Japan from Spain. Mrs. Ito had trusted the Lord in Spain, and on the way back to Japan, Mr. Ito trusted the Lord in India. They were contacted by young men and women who were with Operation Mobilization. I had the privilege, after I met them, of discipling them and then introducing them to the assembly in Kichijoji in Tokyo. Now, Brother Ito is an elder in that assembly. He's been an elder for quite a number of years. At our Tokyo farewell, Brother Ito shared the chain of events that the Lord used to bring him to Himself. Over the years, 26 of their family members have been saved, baptized, and are now in fellowship in that assembly. And I'll tell you, that was a big encouragement to hear him share at that time. When Ruth and I were first in Tokyo for 12 years, the Lord opened the hearts of two ladies in our neighborhood who, after a period of Bible study, trusted the Lord and were soon baptized there at Kichijoji. Now, many of their friends are also saved and in fellowship in the local assembly. Their families, their husbands and children are also saved, and the son of one of them is a missionary in France. Praise the Lord. During that time, the Lord brought into our lives other young men who are now elders or retired elders in various assemblies throughout Japan. Would you pray for these men? They carry a big responsibility. I just mentioned Mr. Ito. Then there's Mr. Miura, Mr. Okamoto, Mr. Suzuki, Mr. Hagiwara, and Mr. Niimi. Two other men who are now gray, as I am, were present at our Tokyo farewell. We had lost communication with them when we moved to Shibukawa. We, as well as others, wondered what had happened to them. As we heard from them their stories of wandering from the Lord, we were saddened. But the stories did not end there. Mr. Hirano had married a Muslim lady several years ago. I think it was more than several years ago, but the Lord saved her, and she was baptized 2 years ago. The Lord is still working in their lives through the Holy Spirit. Then there's Mr. Tsuchiya. He drifted away for many years. But then he walked into a church this February. And while sitting there, remembered the Bible studies with me and the daily phone call with a verse for the day. And he told us the great encouragement that that was to him at a very difficult time in his life. He searched for our phone number and contacted us 2 weeks before our farewell. Praise the Lord that the Spirit of God is not limited. And Mr. Tsuchiya returned to the Lord. It was a thrill. We sat in a Chinese restaurant that he treated us to. He's an architect. He's retired, but he's still working. And after the initial formalities were over, we hadn't seen each other for a long time. Ruth was there too. He, with tears in his eyes, he shared how the Lord had started, you know, speaking to him again. And that was just a thrill. After 12 years in Tokyo and a one-year refresher course in the mountains in Karuizawa, in 1985 we moved to Shibukawa, which is about 75 miles northwest of Tokyo. Our first years in Shibukawa were quite bumpy. The assembly's history had a lot of baggage as well as a lot of promise. There were times that we wanted to leave. We wanted to pack up and leave. But the Lord's guidance had been so clear that we stayed, and the Lord was glorified. Two of the sisters there married commended workers, and we lost them from our assembly, but others have come and filled in the gaps. Over the years, some were saved and baptized, and all but one of them is walking with the Lord. Others have moved away for work or school. One of the young men who had moved away years ago came to our farewell. The Lord had preserved him, and he is attending a good church near his home. Another one that I had the joy of baptizing was Narumi, the wife of Peter Bjorley. I remember her baptism. That was a thrill. One of the bright spots in the Shibukawa work is the English service, which we began about 10 years ago. We had disappointments, but we've been encouraged too. It is now under the leadership of a Christian couple, a young couple from South Africa. They are Caucasians. As they call them there, Afrikaans. Rodney and Julia Sloan, who are teaching in the local high schools. Please pray for Rodney and Julia as they reach out to other English speakers in the area. On March 22, the day of our departure from Japan, the Shibukawa believers chartered a microbus. Now, Randy, on the way over here, he says, they won't necessarily identify with a microbus. He says, maybe you should call it a minibus. Well, over there it's called a microbus. It's not a big Greyhound-style bus. It's a small bus. But they chartered that to the airport to see us all. It was a sad but joyous time. Since then, we've been in touch with them, mainly by phone, and we're happy to say that they are carrying on. They are grateful for the help and prayers of other assemblies in the area, and they send their thanks to you folks here at Northwest for your prayers over the years and for your sending us to Japan. God is so good. You know, that expression has a lot of meaning to me. Some of you might remember Don and Donna Livingston, who spent about the same number of years in Japan. We were very close to Don and Donna. We arrived in Japan about the same time. They were first, and we studied Japanese in the language school together. And we celebrated our anniversaries for several years together. We would go to different places, and we loved Don and Donna. Well, Don passed away several years ago, and Donna just passed away, and we just missed her. But we were able to talk with her sister-in-law there in Toronto and hear about Donna's last years before the Lord took her home. But the reason why I mention them is that Don, many times, he said, God is so good. God is so good. And that was during the trials that they had been through, especially with Donna. Don was her caregiver for many years in Japan. But he would always, when we hadn't seen each other for a long time, he said, Jay and Ruth, God is so good. Thank you so much for listening tonight. And I believe I have a time for a few questions. But before that, I would like for us to all sing together the hymn that I mentioned earlier. I believe it's in the big hymn book, number 611. Number 611. And notice, it talks about, take my life. Take my moments. Take my hands. Take my feet. Take my voice. Take my lips. Take my silver and my gold. Take my intellect. Take my will. Take my heart. Take my love. Take myself. And I will be ever only all for thee. Shall we sing number 611 together?
Take my life and
and use every power.
I'd like to open it up to any questions that you might have, and I hope I can answer them. If I can't, I'll make a signal to Randy or to my wife. Yes?
Can you also tell people here a little bit about what Arthur and Matt are doing in Tokyo?
Okay. Actually, they're in the States right now. Some of you probably know about that. And they are working with HIBA, which is an organization that was actually started by assemblymen in New York City, in New York many, many years ago. And there was Send Mission, but there's a working arrangement with HIBA of Japan. HIBA Japan is completely independent. They're in Japan, and their focus is on reaching Japanese high school students. They have clubs in Tokyo and in Osaka, local clubs in different neighborhoods near churches, and they have rallies, and where the clubs are located, these rallies are regular. And to those rallies, they invite high school students to be first brought into introduction to the Bible, and they study the Bible together. And then every summer they have what's called the gospel team. The gospel team is composed of students, high school students from the international schools, the Christian Academy, as well as some of the military schools, but they are Christian high school students, and they're students who are Christians that are in those high schools. And for 2 weeks, they are sent to different locations in the Kanto area, which is relatively close to Tokyo, as well as in the Kansai area where Osaka is. And they are they work with local churches, and we have had them up in Shibukawa, and for 2 or 3 days, and they have rallies during those 2 days. They distribute invitations to the high school students, and they invite them to these rallies, and then there's the staff that comes and works with them and gives the messages to these high school students. And in brief, that's what they're involved in. And Arthur is in the international part. He works with the English-speaking high school students. Every week they have a club that meets, and they study the Bible together, and they talk about the Bible. In a nutshell, that's what they're involved in. Yes?
Jay, do you have any plans or some idea of what you'll be doing now in these next weeks and months?
Well, we've been involved in getting adjusted to the culture. We finally got phones, cell phones, and we're back in communication again. It's very uneasy when you can't communicate, you know, and we have no, where we are staying with Randy, there's no land phone there. So that's our only phone. And recently we purchased an automobile, and that's where we've got wheels so we can move around. And we're also been working on connecting with doctors. And we need to do that, connect with doctors more than just the primary care doctor. Ruth needs follow-up after her 2 episodes in Japan. And and I need a primary care doctor. And so these are slow in getting, you know. You know, the doctors aren't taking new patients, or they don't accept Medicare. So we're dealing with, you know, new things. You know, it's a new culture for us. We were well taken care of in Japan. And we are scheduled to attend what shall I call it? A special program in Colorado for, they have programs for folks that are going out as missionaries for the first time. And they, to prepare them for cross-cultural ministry. But they also have a program for missionaries that come back on furlough in adjusting to their home culture. And that's what we're hoping to get involved in. That's about a week in Colorado, Colorado Springs. And you know, being in Japan for, you know, more than 40 years, we come back and this is a foreign culture to us. And you remember, I remember in one of the prayer meetings here not too long ago, a letter from Tom Aiken was read, and it wasn't all of it wasn't read, but I grabbed a copy and I could identify with that. You know, many things that are foreign to us, and you know, it's scary. But anyway, this is to help us to get readjusted to this culture, and there's a lot of, you know, in meeting others that are facing the same situation. So we'd appreciate your prayers, but we're thankful that we're able to go to that conference. And then we're beginning to set up a schedule, you know, for doing a bit of traveling and giving our thanks for the prayers and the gifts of many assemblies and many individuals over these years. Yes?
Jake, can you give us an update on Ruth's health currently?
Okay, she, on the basis of her last appointments, she was clear of cancer, but she was urged to, have, you know, continual follow-up, you know, they have, you know, different periods like every 3 months or 4 months and we haven't gotten that connection, settled yet. You know, we've got a good possibility. Her appointment has to be changed. It was initially for the 1st of July, but it has to be changed now. But anyway, and, regarding her brain hemorrhage, she needs follow up with that too. And we've, taken over some of her, history to, one particular, office, and they're supposed to get in touch with us. We don't have a primary care one, but there's one in the making, so thank you. But she's clear of cancer, and she hasn't had any, we've had some scares, other types of scares, but she's doing fine, and we want to thank you for your prayers. Do you want to, Ruth, you want to add anything to that at all?
Most of you know that when we took the life in Los Angeles, that I was in the hospital with something that the doctors were unable to diagnose. And last few days I ended up in the hospital in Springfield, Illinois. I had passed out twice on Saturday afternoon. And again, they could not find any reason for it. So that's the reason we are really trying to get this push on to get lined up with doctors so that we can have more testing or whatever to know what's going on. I feel fine, I have no pain, but we just don't know. So we really can't.
Yes.
So, I don't know how many years ago it was now, but the big tidal waves and stuff in Japan, after that, it seemed like we had heard that you were doing some outreach into those areas that were hit.
Yes. We personally have not been involved in any of that kind of follow-up. However, we have had contact from the beginning. When we started taking goods up there, we met an MK, a missionary kid. He grew up in Japan, a large family. We knew his parents, and they're connected with the Apostolic Church of Japan. That's not Pentecostal. I looked it up in the in Wikipedia, and it's very evangelical. And but anyway, we met him, and he was involved. He's bilingual, and after that, he was our, you might say, our point man there in that area where the damage was. And he was working amongst the people there, and he would tell us the things that were necessary, that the people needed, their needs. And then we would seek to make the purchases, and then we later, and the assembly in Shibukawa was involved in purchasing things that the people up there needed. And they packed them at our house, and they loaded the truck before we drove those things up. But I might say that you remember seeing the scenes on television, you know. And our first trip up there taking goods, we didn't go to the place of disaster directly. We brought goods to other places that were inland. And but the second time up, we actually went to the coast. And I tell you, I never forget that. We went over the kind of a hilly area just before we reached the coast, and we looked down and we just cried. Just total devastation. Well, like a tornado does, you know, when it whips through an area, you know, everything. And this, you can just see where the water had come in with big force and then went out and swept many things out with it. People there are still... They're still suffering. There's a lot of cleanup has been done, you know, but there are places where there were villages, fishing villages there. In that area, there's hardly anything, but on the high areas, there's a home here and a home there that were not damaged, and people are living there, but it's not their original neighborhood, you know. So please continue to pray. There are many of the missions, you know, in Japan are involved in evangelistic work. There are many missionaries, as well as Japanese churches that have moved into that area, pastors, you know, and missionaries and other individuals, you know, just ordinary Christians that have moved into that area and are seeking to reach the people there. The people's hearts in that area for many years was a very closed area, even to other Japanese. Very religious, but very closed to the outside world. But there was a window that was open, you know, but for how long that'll be open. But there are people that have been saved, and we praise God for that. Pardon? Yes. Thank you, Randy. There's a large assembly about 30 minutes from where we were in Shibukawa. And one of the full-time workers that was commended from that assembly, he and his family are moving to the devastation area. Actually, they're moving to... the area that was affected by the nuclear disaster. Their name is Nakano. And please pray for them. They're involved in they started radio evangelism in that area with a commended worker that that records the messages. He's from Osaka area. And so pray for the Lord to use that family and the evangelist. Okay, the time has passed, and so let's close in prayer, please. Lord, we want to thank you for this time that we've had together. Thank you for the privilege of sharing what you have done in my life. Thank you for sharing what you have done in Japan through us. Thank you for what you are doing in Japan. And we just pray for more open doors, for continued open doors. We pray that many more Japanese will be brought into the family of God. Lord, we pray this, that your name might be honored and glorified in that land of the rising sun. Lord, thank you for this time tonight. We pray that we've talked about surrendering our lives to the Lord. We just pray that if there's any hearts here that you have spoken to, Lord, we just pray for your continued work in those hearts. We ask these things in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and our God. Amen.